The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. We're back for a look at the international friendlies and the World Cup playoff games as well midweek. We've got Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern with us on the line. Good morning, chaps.
Good morning, good morning.
We did all right over the weekend, I think, with some of the tips on the internationals, despite kind of our usual negative slant on them. As friendlies go, England versus Germany has got to be right up there with one of the best ones you can hope for. 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, this one at Wembley, of course. England are 21-10, so the second time they've been odds against in two games. Draws 21-10, and Germany are 7-5. Plenty of stat offers and headline offers. The team news is the most important thing here, though. England are going to strengthen up ahead of this game, waiting on Gerrard's fitness, but Sturridge will be fit. Rooney, you imagine, will play again, and some of the bigger players will come back in. And probably more important, though, Ron, is Germany's team news. The manager, Joachim Löw, made it quite clear that he's resting Ozil, he's resting Lahm, he's resting Neuer, who he calls the backbone of his side, and he's going to give youth a chance. So this is going to be a full-strength England team at home against not a second-string Germany team, but, you know, a Germany team with some younger players in. And this is a Germany team who are kind of like suffering from 18 years of hurt. You read some articles about Germany and the national team, and there's a lot of pressure on the manager's shoulders now. The fans are happy to see this pretty football and attacking football, but they're not so happy with the returns that they're getting these days. Which, it'd be nice to be Germany.
18 years of hurt since they won a major tournament.
1996, yeah. Euro 96, wasn't it?
They won, 90, I'm thinking 90, yeah, they won 90,
So since, you read articles and it's amazing, I mean, oh to be in that position where you still get into the latter stages of tournaments, but even that 4-4 draw with Sweden was greeted with derision in Germany. It didn't really matter, but, you know, there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders all of a sudden, they say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they pay today. I think they're too sensible to pay too much attention to a friendly result like this, knowing full well they're going to. They won't be making changes, will they, before the World Cup? That's for sure.
No.
Probably after the World Cup, different kettle of fish. But I don't think England will get beaten. I think I'm almost tempted to go for an England winner. I just wonder whether he's going to play. Just try and work his team out what you think it would be if he's available. The back four would be Jagielka. Is Jagielka fit? Or did he just leave him out to try the other kid?
Bit of a knock, I think. Yeah. I think he's expected to be fit.
Everyone who's got any chance will play this one, I think, isn't it?
I would guess he's going to play Kyle Walker, Hartingale, Kyle Walker, Cahill, Jagielka and Ashley Cole, Townsend, Gerrard. That other position might be a little bit tricky. I think he might play Milner on the
right. Yeah, yeah. Lampard a bit.
Yeah. I don't think you play Lampard.
A bit.
I don't think you play Lampard. I'm trying to see. Then Sturridge and Rooney up front.
Yeah, obviously.
Who might he play in that other position?
Wilshere.
But he's not going to play Wilshere. He said he's only going to play.
This is the midfield he's got.
How much of the game? Just remind me, because I watched it on tape. I didn't. And how much of the game did Wilshere play?
About 70 minutes, something like that.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he probably played Cleverly. Cleverly, will he play?
Yeah, there? Cleverly in there. Isn't Ross Barkley too young, really, isn't he, to be playing?
I'd play him before Cleverly.
Yeah, same here. If I ever became England manager,
I think that's an important one. Who plays in that other position? I'm trying to think of the other midfield.
So you got Gerrard, Townsend, Henderson, Cleverly, Barkley, Lallana, Lampard, Wilshere, and Milner.
He might give Lallana another go,
He might play Lallana, and he might play. He might play Barry, Milner tucked in one. Mm. I wonder if he might do that.
Not a lot stands out, though, does it? I mean, it's a good point, isn't it, really? I mean,
I read an article the other day where the England midfield player did himself the most good the other day was Carrick. We're not playing. Yeah. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go for a score draw.
You're right about what you say about Germany, though, Lee. You know, I've been reading all the, the German and the new force in Europe and that, but, did they ever win anything in 1996? And, England could have easily won that one. Mm. I'm not having it. All Bayern Munich, we say they're steamrolling in Europe, but most of Bayern Munich's best players are foreign. No, I'm not having it. These are the well beaters. I'm just not.
I tell you what, I think if he was coming with the players like Lahm and all that, I think he'd be. Yeah. I think you'd be piling.
Oh, England are crap. We know that. I mean, they were an absolute disgrace on Tuesday. I'm kicking myself that I was conned into backing them. I always oppose England.
Yeah, you do. I was.
I know. I just couldn't believe how short Chile were though. But then it was a good reason, as we saw on Friday.
Just remind me the odds again.
They were 3-1, weren't they? Oh, you mean for this game or for the Chile game? This game, Germany are 7-5, England 21-10. The draw the same price, 21-10. So, just over 2-1.
Well, it's a safer bet going for the draw, isn't it? I might go for a draw, score draw.
Yeah.
I'm tempted for a 2-2 actually.
Mm. They can't be 2-2 is 14-1. 1-1 is 13-2. And to be fair, you've got good reason for that because Germany are. You look at their away performances, not often they keep a clean sheet. Faroe Islands, they beat 3-0. Kazakhstan, they beat 3-0. And then they had a 0-0 draw in Holland back in 2012 in a friendly. But then you have to go back to 2010 for the last away clean sheet. And they've played Sweden, 5-3. The USA beat them 4-3 in a friendly. Ecuador scored 2 against them. France got 1. Ireland got 1 in the 6-1 demolition. Austria, Denmark, Switzerland scored 5, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I think I might be tempted to go for a score draw, and I think I might be tempted to go for a 2-2.
Mm. Derek, they can't be as bad, Derek, can they, as they were on Tuesday? On Saturday, sorry.
Friday, England.
Whatever it was.
Friday. Yeah, what day it is, Lee?
Recently.
No, they can't be as bad. But we've said that after a number of England performances, and then we've been proven wrong the very next performance. I mean, people go on about the rivalry between these two sides, England and Germany. But apart from two world wars, we've always got on pretty well.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, they happened by accident. Because we stuck our nose in where
I tell
we
you what, it's very one way as well. They don't care. You know, it's one of those rivalries where, you know, one side is really upset about the other. The other are like, oh, sorry, who?
Yeah,
who are
exactly.
You again? They're more bothered about Holland, aren't they, in Italy? Italy, I mean, Italy are their big rivals, aren't they? They have a real problem with Italy in terms of football, but a bit of a bogey side for them. But yeah, I don't think it's reciprocated really, yeah. Derek.
Well, in a funny way, Lee, because of the way England performed on Friday and the result, I fancy them for this match more than I would have done, because they can't afford to. Not that they would have coasted anyway against Germany, but you know, they've got to turn it on, haven't they? They've got to do. There's none of this sort of it's a friendly. Who cares? They've got to get a result here, and Germany seems to be giving it that we're not really bothered. You know, he hasn't even. He said the manager said he's going to, make a few experiments with young players and so on. I've just got a sneaking fancy for England here. I don't see them losing two games at Wembley on the bounce, England. No matter how ordinary we might think they are. And let's not forget, they've got you've got Gerrard coming in, which makes a big difference. God, how he was missed on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got Sturridge as well, who, you know, whatever you think about him and Rooney seem to have a partnership developing. So England are going to strengthen and Germany are going to weaken. England are at home and they're a bigger price than the Germans. Again, I'm going to go for England. I can't believe what's come over me here, going for England two games.
Twice, I mean, this is unheard of.
I know. But I just think...
Well, price would tempt you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, over 2-1, did you say? Yeah, 21-10, yeah. I like the look of that.
Last time Derek went for England in successive games was 1966, I believe.
And he happened to be... To beat Uruguay and Mexico.
Yeah, that was the end of the run. When you look at Germany's away form in friendlies as well, just to pick up on this, 2 wins in 10 away from home. They beat France and beat Ecuador in early 2013. A few draws in there. Drew with Italy, drew with Holland, drew with Ukraine, drew with Poland and Sweden. This is all going back to 2010. Two losses against Switzerland and the USA.
But you know what? You know, it's a massive difference in friendlies for the opposition when it's at Wembley.
Yes. We said that about Chile, actually, didn't we, Ron?
Yeah,
a bit of a marketplace
Wembley,
for them as well. Shop window.
There's a massive place for them. And all right. I think the Germans would love to put another one over us. Mm. They do. They because, you know, they're arrogant. But in the nicest possible way.
Confident.
Yeah. I mean, I see here Shurrell had this thing, didn't he, about it, where he sort of quoted Rooney wouldn't get in our team or something like that.
Yeah, I think Draxler's been kind of having a bit of a pop as well about them as well. Yeah, so there's a few, I think, who are, you know... there is rivalry there, though, isn't there? You know, even between divisions, between you know, countries in terms of Bundesliga versus Premier League, you know. So yeah, it's going to be it's a good international, isn't it? Yeah. I've got a little quiz question for you, Ron. I know you love a bit, and for you, Derek. If they were to lose, it'd be the first time they've lost successive home internationals since when?
Oh,
Last time England lost two games on the bounce.
At home?
Yeah. At Wembley, yeah.
It home sounds as if it's a long time ago, but I'm just thinking sometime in the McLaren reign, we lost against when the Croatia thing, didn't we?
No, it's before that.
It wouldn't be that way again when Chile beat them in 98, was it? And another game before that? No. No. Go on, then, what was it?
1977. Yeah. When England.
John Revy was manager.
That's right, yeah.
They lost. Home internationals.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the teams, it would be a bit of a surprise these days.
Greenwood took over then.
Yeah, it was the Home Nations tournament. Lost to Wales and Scotland within a week of each other.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I can tell you're excited by that. Piece of trivia.
77, yeah. Revy must have finished just straight after that.
That would be good reason, to be fair.
They went out to Italy and got beat when he played about five centre-halves and we got beat.
I remember that game, Ron. Yeah, that was where I was in the days of Bettiger, wasn't it, and that Gentile.
Yeah, he then did, he finished after that and we had to play him in a second match at Wembley, which really didn't account for anything. And what's his name took over? Ron Greenwood, he gave Coppell and Barnes their debuts on the wing.
Yeah,
and we beat them 2-0 at Wembley, but it didn't matter.
Was that the goal where Kevin Keegan scored or Brooklyn and the ball stuck in the stanchion in the top of the net? Was that that game?
Do you know where that was? No. That was Switzerland away.
Oh, was it right? Yeah.
Switzerland away.
What an encyclopedic knowledge.
It's crazy.
Get him on the chase instead of Robbie Savage.
Hey, I'd love to do that.
You should do Mastermind. You should do Football Mastermind.
Because the same night, I had a phone call from the England camp. I'd just taken the Man United job, and I had a phone call from the England camp from Brian Robson saying, "You know what you said? The only way I'd go to Manchester United is if you're there." So I was officially tapped up by a player from
Tremendous. Get that in your book, Ron.
Yeah. Third one. Have they ever done a sporting mastermind? Yeah, a sports edition of Mastermind.
Yeah, that would be an idea.
Yeah, so you could do that one. So back to the football. You're going for a draw, Ron, at 21-10.
I'm going for a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, and you're a 2-2 draw as well at 14-1. And
going for an England win.
Yeah, Rooney to score in an England win, 6-1, which might be motivated by the comments.
Is that the first goal or any goal?
Any, that is. That's any.
Oh, that's a good. That's all right.
Yeah. Muller to score in a Germany win is 5-1. You could incorporate the anytime goal scorers into a draw as well. So Rooney to score in a draw comes out at 7-2, which isn't anywhere near as good as your 6-1, even though the same prices.
I think that's a decent bet, though, to have if you got a result with Rooney at score.
Mm, yeah.
Hang on, Lee.
That's crazy.
Hear that right there?
That's unbelievable, isn't it, that?
Rooney to score in England win, 6-1. Rooney to score in England draw, 7-2.
Yeah.
That can't be right.
That can't be right, can it? No, it is right, yeah. That is a mass. Well, that's the same. The true price of the win cast is 7-2, Derek. And they've boosted it to 6-1.
Jesus,
that's unbelievable.
No, the truth is not. Wouldn't be, no, it wouldn't be because you've got. England
it can't be, can it?
No, you can't have a true price anyway, can you?
Well, no.
So if Rooney scores, England's chances of winning automatically improve.
But the price they give you on the website, you know, in the little drop-down menu where it says anytime goal win cast. So Wayne Rooney to score in a draw or England win that is 7-2.
It's massively inflated.
But that 7-2 is not right, is it? What, a 7-4 and a 7-4 and 21-10.
Yeah, but it's not that, is it?
I know, yeah. 6-1 is good, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a big boost, isn't it, to be fair?
You know, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good. Let's have a look at Poland versus the Republic of Ireland next. Poland are 13-10 at home. The draw's 11-5, and the Republic are priced up at 11-5 as well. Republic got off to a winning start, didn't they, under their new management team. It was good to see them on the sideline, wasn't it? Matt O'Neill was kind of pretty restrained, and Roy Keane was just fist-pumping every 5 minutes. Keane, as Ron predicted, McGeady and Long got the goals. Now they go away to Poland full of confidence, and so they should be, Derek, really, because, you know, this Poland team aren't any great shakes, although their home friendly record is pretty good. They lost to Slovakia on Friday Before that, they'd only lost to Uruguay in the previous 13 games. And even before that, you go back and the friendly results are excellent. And they played a lot, remember, because they were building up to the European Championships. But yeah, I mean, everyone who came to town, they pretty much beat. So this isn't a, it's by no means a walkover for the Irish, is it?
Oh, definitely not. No, going to Poland. It wouldn't, if England were going to Poland, it wouldn't be a walkover, would it? I mean, they give England a couple of problems in the qualifiers. But they just, I don't know, you surprised me with the news about their great home record in friendlies. I'm just getting the feeling that Poland have almost down tools now. You know, after they failed to qualify for the World Cup, that result, the last result in that qualifying game, the result recently.
Yeah.
Whereas the Irish seem to be on a bit of an upward surge. I mean, the new management come in, it's got to have had an effect. It certainly did on Friday. I fancy them to go to Poland and win. You know, I think 11-5 is decent because you can't underestimate the galvanising effect of a new management team, particularly those two. When it all goes pear-shaped, or if it all goes pear-shaped, then we'll see what they're made of.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that it's worth riding Ireland at the moment.
Yeah.
I think a draw is a safer bet because it's the same price, isn't it?
Yeah, same price. Yeah,
I think they'll go there and get a good draw.
Yeah. When you look at, I mean, their away form, obviously, Republics, this is in friendlies, has obviously been under Trapattoni, but, you know, they know how to go away and get results. They've only got one friendly defeat in the last nine matches, and that was in Spain when they held out until about the late, maybe 60th minute, something like, maybe 70th minute.
You know, it gets on my nerves, you know. I get a bit fed up of people putting him down like Trapattoni.
Yeah, you rate him highly, don't you, Ron?
Yeah, I do, and you get people saying, you know, now we'll be all right now the Trapattoni era is finished. I think he did a miracle to get them there with what they'd got to the tournament. Just because they didn't perform at the tournament. I mean, they haven't got great players, Ireland, have they? I mean, there was a time when five of them, you know, in the Jack era, would have been regulars in the England team, would have improved an England team. You know, the McGraths, the Lawrensons, people like that, and Roy Keane himself. But I mean, you keep coming back every time. Every time you think of the Irish team now, you automatically go on to, what's your name, Robbie Keane, don't you?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
He's your thought. And the others are all okay players, but, you know, none of them would seriously, would they? None of them would seriously.
No, I mean, Shane Long's all right, isn't he? He's
all right. John Walters. He can't get a regular place at West Brom.
Yeah, John Walters is all right. Doesn't score a lot of goals for Stoke, though, you know.
I fancy them to go out there and get a draw. I'm just wondering whether it be 1-1 or whether it be no score.
The draw itself is 11-5. 1-1 is 11-2. If you fancy more than that, 2-2 is 16-1.
I think I'd just stick on the safe side and go for a draw.
Yeah.
Just a draw at 11-5. It's just reasonably attractive.
Yeah, Derek, you going for Ireland?
Yeah, I'm going for Ireland. I think they're worth following.
Yeah, like I said, they don't lose too many, and the goals have dried up for Poland as well. The last three games in home or away, in all, you know, in World Cup qualifiers and friendlies, lost 1-0 to Ukraine, 2-0 to England at Wembley, and 2-0 to Slovakia. So struggling to score a little bit. Norway are the opponents for Scotland. Norway are 11-10. The draw is 21-10, and Scotland are 11-4. This is being played in Molde at the Aker Stadion. Norway's form hasn't been particularly clever in the last 10 games. They've only got two wins. They beat Macedonia at home and Cyprus at home, and drawn a couple and lost the rest. And Scotland have had a bit of an upturn, haven't they? 0-0 draw against USA, but that's the first time they've won in three now, beating Macedonia themselves, and there's that 2-0 win over Croatia. Once again, team news is everything. I know there's a couple of players who've been called into the squad. Chris Boyd has been called in along with Stuart Armstrong because there's a couple of injuries.
Here's
and
a
knocks.
Quick question for you. Does Chris Boyd still play for Middlesbrough? Did he go abroad?
No, he plays for Kilmarnock now, I think.
Kilmarnock?
Yeah.
Good knowledge. Derek's a big fan of the Scottish game. We know that. Norway, Scotland. Go pick a winner of this one. The Norway's game the week on Friday, they lost 2-1 in Denmark. Before that, they drew 1-1 with Iceland. Nothing really to be worried about with Norway, but you know what you're going to get. It's going to be a typically kind of British game, I guess, this one, isn't it?
That's exactly what it's going to be. But when you look at Norway and you see that one of their chief threats is still more Gamst Pedersen.
Yeah.
You know, it says it all where Norway are.
True.
I think you're going to a fjord to miss Scotland there. I think 11-4. Those results against Croatia, they beat Croatia home and away, Scotland.
I know.
I mean, you know, This is not the Scotland that I used to write off regularly. They've got something about them under Strachan. I don't know quite know what it is, but they've got something there. I think he's let Fletcher go back to his club, hasn't he? I don't think Fletcher's involved in this game, which is a bit of a blow. But I still fancy them at 11-4. Norway are there for the taking.
I don't know how this works, Ron, but they've got a really good record in trips to Norway. They've only lost 2 of 9 trips to Norway, winning 4 and drawing 3. I did lose 4-0 in the last trip there. That was 2009. And Norway don't do draws very often. 27 international friendlies, only one has ended as a draw. 115, lost 11.
That is incredible.
It's a poor Norway. By the over the years, they've had some decent teams, and you find a lot of their players have been tipped off to go into the big leagues, aren't they? But
yeah.
I don't see many, or I don't hear of many of their players now being sort of touted for big money moves. So Scotland, yeah, a bit of spirit at the moment. They got something going for them, and Scottish teams with spirit are always at the best. So I think maybe they can maybe Scotland would go there and win.
The price is so that win is 11-4 for a Scotland win. It's a decent price. I think you get a run for your money with that one. And if you're not quite that brave, you could always go for the old draw no bet, which is still 7-4 money back if it's a draw, and 7-4 if they manage to win it. And the plus one, so the double chance, is 3-4. So you're getting the draw and Scotland on your side there. Let's have a look at the playoffs for the European sides in the World Cup. Some good games here, and the poised very nicely as well.
A question before we look at them.
Yeah.
Do away goals count double?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's very important with the Portugal one.
Yeah. Just running down them, Iceland 0, Croatia 0. Iceland failed to muster a single shot against Croatia despite keeping them down to a draw. And a lot of people were thinking that Iceland might upset Croatia in that game. The odds now are 4-11 for Croatia to win the 90 minutes, 130 the draw, and Iceland are priced up at 9-1 to qualify. Croatia are 1-5. Iceland are 100-30. Then you've got the next one, Romania versus Greece. Romania losing 3-1 at home, so Greece in a very, very commanding position in this one, with a 3-1 lead at home. 6-5 Romania. Greece are 12-5 and the draw 11-5. You won't be surprised to know that to qualify prices see Greece at 1-6 and Romania are priced up at 7-2 to qualify. The Ukraine-France game, again, what a result for Ukraine in France. 2-0 leading going into the home leg, where we know they can defend very well indeed. Ukraine are priced up at 7-1 to win in France. France are 4-9. The draw is priced up at 3-1, and the to qualify odds see Ukraine 2-5, France 7-4. No team's ever come from 2-0 down to win a playoff for a World Cup in a World Cup qualifying playoff. And the one that we're all looking forward to, Sweden versus Portugal, Ronaldo versus Zlatan, etc. Well, Ronaldo won the battle of that one. He scored and had quite a few shots. Zlatan was very quiet. Sweden are 17-10 to win the home leg, 21-10 the draw, and Portugal are priced up at 17-10 to win in Sweden. To qualify, Sweden 11-4 and Portugal 1-4. What do you think, guys? I mean, should this go to form now in terms of where the results are? Croatia going in with a goalless start again, basically starting from fresh at home. Ukraine surely can't chuck away a 2-0 lead, can they?
No, I'll tell you what, a couple of things I'd pick out from those, what you mentioned, Lee. Ukraine is 2-0 up against an ordinary France side, and it's still 2-5 to qualify. I think that's a great bet. I think they will definitely qualify. Sweden-Portugal game, I've got no idea about. Now, the Croatia-Iceland game, 0-0 from the first leg. You said Iceland didn't get a shot on target, but they had 10 men for most of the game. And Croatia, we've seen, and they will be, to Scotland, they're beating them home and away. I've always said Iceland did their job. They kept a clean sheet at home.
Yep.
They only need an away goal.
A bit like the old Champions League thing that we do, when the 0-0 at home is a good result.
And they're 130, I think, to qualify.
Yeah. Need to sneak a goal, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Somehow.
Well, yeah. Which, I mean, even if they don't concede, they don't lose, do they? They go to penalties, whatever.
And in the last 5 away games, in qualifiers and in friendlies, they've scored in all of them. two in Albania, two in Andorra, two in Slovenia, four in Switzerland, and one in Norway. Before that,
four in Switzerland. Iceland got four in Switzerland.
4-4 draw in the qualifier. So there's no reason. Gudmundsson got a hat trick in that one. Even before that, they scored two in Sweden in May of 2012, two against France in a friendly in May 2012. So you know, it's not like they can't score away from home.
No, that hardens my resolve. I'm on the Iceman cometh, I think, for me to qualify Iceland.
Yeah, brilliant.
And Greece, by the way, who have made a career in recent years of keeping clean sheets. They're 3-1 up from the first leg. Don't have to attack. Don't have to come out of their box. They're almost 5-2 to keep a clean sheet in Romania. I like the look of that as well.
Yeah, a few good decent bets. Should be decent games as well, Ron, because this is where it's all on the line. If you lose and you go in, I mean, you've got to see a France team attack from the start, haven't we? Here, surely.
I'll tell you what. I think first and foremost, I think Croatia are nap.
You do, yeah.
I think Croatia are nap. I think they'll go through. I don't think Iceland will score. I know you pointed out their records, but I think Croatia will win 2-0. I'd have that. I'd see them winning 2-0 going through.
That's 92, by the way.
I think they're a nap. Greece, yeah, I can see Greece holding out. I think they'll get beat on the game, but I don't think they'll get beat by enough to turn the deficit over. So mm-hmm. I'll go Greece to go through on that one. The Portugal one, I think Sweden might win the game 2-1.
That's priced up.
Yeah, I can't see Ronaldo not scoring. That's the thing. Yeah. I think if it was a straight game, I'd be going Sweden to win it. But I can't see Ronaldo not scoring. I think at any given time he'll score a goal. I think that'll be the crucial thing.
Yep.
So I think Sweden will win the game, but I think Portugal will go through. So I'm looking. So the odds on that's got to be a 2-1, and.
2-1 was 9-1, I think I said. Ronaldo to score in the game anytime is even money, which you won't see that very often for the who's now the best player in the world while Messi's injured. What was the other one? We were France Ukraine. Just wanted to say
France and Ukraine.
Some of these teams.
I'd go right against, but it's not good odds, is it? It's not good odds, you know, for them to turn it over. I think you said 7-4.
7-4 to qualify.
It's
yeah,
it's a criminal price, Ron. Criminal price.
I would be very tempted to go for France to pull one out the bag on this. And I know Ukraine are very, very efficient and very effective at keeping clean sheets and that, but that price wouldn't tempt me at all.
Listen to some of these players who won't be at the World Cup as well. Like this France squad, I mean, they'd be unbelievable if they don't make it. You know, obviously, Lloris, the keeper, you've got Abidal and Evra, Sagna, Clichy, Debussy, Sacco, Koscielny.
Sounds like a wine list, that, doesn't it?
Then midfield, got Ribéry and Nasri, Kabay, Sissoko, Pogba, of course, who is impressing everyone now, Benzema, Giroud and Remy up front. There's some very recognisable names they're very good players, but
there's not one that are getting a World 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Ribéry, maybe.
Perhaps, yeah. Who's in line? Am I right in thinking he was in line? Is he your favourite for the Football of the Year,
the
isn't
Ballon d'Or,
he? The Ballon d'Or, which is pretty surprising. Ribéry is the favourite to win the Ballon d'Or. You know, which, how could he can't win that in front of Ronaldo, surely. I know they won the Champions League, but still. Thank you very much, chaps. That'll do us. See how we get on with those bets, and we'll speak to you before the Premier League returns at the weekend.
Thank God that returns.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Ron. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.